like that music. It's America for President's Day.
America.
Ready for self-destruction. I know the song. Self-destruction. Yeah, for self-destruction. That's the only words I know, though.
Those are the instrumentals, so you don't need any words. What do you think of that shit?
I like it. Who sings this?
The Rippity Rappers. This was
Rip Rap in the Gang?
I think this was organized by KRS-One.
I like, this is when I used to watch Yo MTV Raps. They would show
Down.
This.
Yeah.
Boogie Down Productions? Is
yeah.
That?
That's him, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he organized it. And then West Coast did a one, I think a year later. We're all in the same gang.
I remember that was so lame. I felt like that was lame.
Really?
We're all in the same gang. Yeah, I remember being like, this is lame, man.
Then Eazy-E came out at the end, and he did his, and then he was like, I love the, his message was like, don't get AIDS. But also, don't get involved with drugs or violence. Take it from me, I kill everyone.
Right. Like, I'm the true master of
the violent fucking, the most violent guy in music. All right. Feels good, right?
I like it. Yeah, this reminds me of being 12 years old and like watching Yo MTV Raps.
Yeah.
A young girl, my blossoming bosom and menstrual cycle beginning and this and going, wow.
However you want to do it.
There's a whole world of stuff I don't even know about.
Well, she finally got back. What are your upcoming dates? What are your dates?
Mommy's, right now, it's pretty chill, dude. I'm going to do Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank, March 22nd through 23rd. And then we're going to talk about April 11th through 14th, the Denver Improv in Denver, Colorado. And that's as far as I'm going to go right now.
All right.
Go to ChristinaComedy.com for all my dates.
Okay.
I'm doing a lot of Ohio, guys. Okay. I'm going to be in Cleveland, Cincinnati, Chicago, Richmond, Columbus this year. A lot of shit, man. What about you, Tommy Buns?
She thinks she's cute. All right.
I'm out there. I'm out there, son. Come check me out. This week, I'm at my favorite comedy club in the country. Acme in Minneapolis.
Wow.
I will be there. If you're listening to this, I am there 19 to 23. So there's plenty of dates to come see me. Come see the G.O.D. at Acme. It really is the best. And then I added some stuff. The next week, I'm going to Fort Worth, Texas. A lot of you asked about Texas.
Yeehaw.
Yo, Fort Worth, I'm at Hyenas. I'm only there 2 days, Friday and Saturday. And then let's see. Virginia Beach, 14th to 17th of March, Virginia Beach Funny Bone. I added Go Bananas, April 4th to 7th.
I love that club.
Yep, and I added San Jose Improv, April 18th to 21.
All right.
And I think on the, what is it? The 19th, Rogan is doing the show as well. So,
oh, get out. Yeah. What a cool treat, man.
Yeah, so that probably will sell out crazy fast because of my opener, Joe Rogan.
You may have heard of him.
They have heard of him.
Good supporting act.
I will be there all the days around. Okay, so that's that. And that is enough of Stop the Violence movement. shit.
San Jose is a great. I like that room a lot.
Yeah.
You got a lot of cool stuff coming up. Go Bananas is awesome.
Oh, so good. And this, I mean, I really am so stoked. I've told you how much I love Acme.
Yeah.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all makes sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you, which really is the best part about Mint Mobile. Why are you paying for stuff that you don't need? Say goodbye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. And that is the best part. Use your own phone. You can transfer all your contacts over. It's so easy. We use Mint Mobile for our office, and we save over $50 on our monthly phone bill. And it took almost no effort at all to set us up. It's amazing. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/mom. That's mintmobile.com/mom. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/mom. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Now,
it's the longest day of my life.
Let's do this to Slade Monk. A huge thank you.
Huge. Yes.
Huge thank you.
Thank you.
You gave us barbecue sauce.
Barbecue.
He gave you a full tracksuit.
Do you love barbecue like
and
I love barbecue?
I do love barbecue like you love barbecue.
Now take that sauce and put it on my ding dong.
Suck out a barbecue sauce with the corn. Now put those tongs
song,
up inside of my asshole.
Take that corn cob and shove it up my asshole. Is that what we used to say?
Fuck me with those ribs if you really, really love it. Yeah. Yeah. Slade Monk hooked you up, and then he gave me the dopest Bama Crimson Tide sweatshirt.
Roll Tide!
4X.
Is that what you say?
A 4X.
Right.
And I was like, this is the sweetest sweatshirt that fits me like a goddamn dress.
4X.
4X.
Yeah.
We emailed, and he's the nicest guy.
Super
I really appreciate that, man. And I told you, like, it's just a few X's too many.
Yeah. How many X's off?
I don't know. At least two.
Yeah. God bless
4X?
Him. God love him.
What size? What? How do they sell a 4X?
I didn't know they made 4X. Doesn't it just go up? Like, you know, in bras, if you're like a quadruple D, then they just round you up to an E,
yeah.
an F. Like, mm-hmm. when does it become a Y?
That's true.
Like, you're a Y or a Husky. Didn't they used to do that when in the 70s? You were called Husky when you were fat, when you were younger?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they still do that now to kids to make sure the kids don't feel bad about being big, fat pigs.
Were you Husky?
When, was I?
Yeah.
No. Uh-uh. I wasn't a Husky kid.
Oh. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, I'm just being
imply
honest.
You were fat.
It's okay. I'm fat now, so it's okay. I never got up to like. You know what's crazy about shopping for clothes in America now? Maybe all over the world, but I swear to you, if you are just above XL, there are dozens of stores that has they have nothing for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I go into stores, like, I'm 6 feet tall, I weigh 245, I'm a big guy, like, I know that, obviously, and I'm fucking 50 pounds overweight, okay?
Is that all? Is it 50?
Is that all?
No, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what men weigh. Like, honestly,
yeah,
if you were to ask me, what's a normal man weight, I'd be like, 3-something,
well,
I don't even know.
I should weigh, like, 200, maybe a little less.
Okay.
You know? So I'm grossly overweight, but I am.
It's not
I can carry
gross.
It. I can carry it. Okay.
You're like, not.
Yeah.
You're normal to me. You're healthy. You look normal.
I'm not. But here's the thing. It's amazing that you're like, all right, I know I'm overweight. I know I need to lose weight. Mm. I can go to a nice mall and have them be like, no, we don't have anything for you.
Yeah,
and I'm like, wait, but I'm not even... Fuck 500. I'm not three bills. I'm two and change.
Yeah, you're not even rascal fat.
And they're
yet.
Like, there's no clothes here for you at all.
I know.
But then you go to Bama, and clearly they're like, what? 4X? Yeah, we got 6X.
All right. That's the smallest we have.
So maybe it's an LA thing.
It is, because when I was about a size 12 when we came back from Africa, when we gained a bunch of weight in Africa, I went to the Gap, and they don't even like carry a 12 or above,
yeah.
really.
Yeah.
And I went into, what was it? J. Crew. They literally don't carry above a size 10.
Yeah.
So I was
it's
like,
crazy,
wow,
right?
This is, I mean, if the majority of women in America are like 10 and above,
yeah.
and they don't even, I had to go to Old Navy because they carry up to like size 20 for women, and like it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel like a real pig.
You really do.
If you're just marginally fat, mm-hmm. you're morbidly obese
well,
in LA.
Like it's cutting you out of certain norms that you're expect. Like pants, for instance, usually, like a lot of places carry 38 as the max, and they're like, look, this is as fat as we want you to get. And then
they regulate.
If you're over that, you're like, and I've been 38, I've been 40.
This is as fat as you're allowed to get in California.
Right now, I can wear 38s. I can wear 38s right now.
And, that's great, babe.
Yeah, but that's like the limit, and some of them are snug because they don't all they're not all the same.
No,
like
they're
you
cut
wear
different.
One 38 and you're like, oh, I'm a 38, and then you put on the other one, and it's like there's 6 inches between the button
myself.
And the fucking hole.
Yeah, it makes you want to kill yourself. Yeah,
yeah. It's pretty. Basically, the whole thing is just don't be fat.
Well, yeah. Stop being so fat,
stop
America.
Stop being so fucking goddamn fat.
Can I tell you though? I worked. I was going to say real estate. That's how tired I am. Retail.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word, right? On Melrose Avenue in my 20s and also at the Broadway when I was a teenager, the majority of men mm-hmm. who I would fit were 36 and above.
Yeah.
I think a 34, you have to be like really a younger guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like that, like my ex-Asian boyfriend was like a 30, 32.
Really?
He was really like fit and mm-hmm. tiny. You know?
We don't need to hear how fucking fit he
and
was.
Just like Bruce Lee, you know Bruce Lee?
Jesus Christ.
I mean, he could do like push-ups.
When I was a freshman in high school, I was a 29-30 actually.
What is it? 29 is the line?
I had a 29-inch waist.
Get the fuck out of here.
I did, and I had a I got to put up those pictures. Remember we were going to put up pictures?
Your headshots.
Yeah, but I'm saying I should put that on.
You were 29-inch waist.
As a freshman in high school. Yeah.
I think that's what I am. Maybe now? Maybe a 30 now?
No.
Yo. For real.
Really?
For real, though, in my heart.
In my heart. Yeah, that's how fucking thin he was.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then what happened? Like, where did it go?
A lot of feelings, man.
What? Worked out. a lot of anxiety.
You know what? If you look at one of my first stand-up shows, I have a video of one. I'm so thin.
Yeah.
It's really
we
crazy.
All were, kid.
Nah.
We all were. We all were skinnier. We all met. You, me, Full Charge, Ryan Sickler, Jay Larson.
He was way thinner. God, he blew up.
Yeah.
He was way thinner. I think when he went to New York, he came back and were like, what are they? They have a sausage factory out there or something? Yeah.
They're paying him in chocolate for all of his stand-up shows. Paying me in sausage. The road does it to you, man.
So let's start the fucking show.
Oh my
though,
god,
right?
we haven't done so it delirious. Where
it's
are
right.
we? What's happening? What day
know.
Is this?
I don't know. It's crazy.
Obama.
Sup, Barry?
Did I tell you I said what's up to Barry in D.C.?
Yeah, you did.
I took pictures.
You
I saw the White House, guys. I'm American.
You ready to do this?
Fuck yeah.
Connected a lot against DeMarco, I think, which is one of the reasons you're as hot as you are right now. What do you feel about this, which is, after all, the follow-up performance to that masterpiece?
You know, same shit, different toilet.
This shit is big time!
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone mother into this.
Your mom in the fucking stand!
Welcome to your mom's house with Tom Segura.
Tom Segura.
And Christina Pajitson. Christina
Pajitson. Welcome to your mom's house.
Dude.
Was that who I think it was?
I don't know who you think it was.
Was it R. Kelly? Talking about R. Kelly?
No. It's the best thing I've ever seen, though. I was watching HBO Boxing on Saturday night, I guess it was. Saturday night? Yeah, I think it was Saturday night. Adrian Broner was fighting. He's a boxer from Cincinnati.
Uh-huh.
So represent the Nasty Natty. And he is like the, you know, the showboat ridiculous.
I love boxers.
Oh,
I love boxers.
It's the only
egos.
Sport
I love it.
That allows you to be that ridiculous.
Yeah.
And everybody lets you get away with it. Everybody.
You're supposed to brag
they
and
don't,
boast.
They do not call you out. He said on HBO What do you think? How are you going to top this, Matt? What do you think about what you're about to do now? He said, same shit, different toilet.
Yeah.
That's what he said. No other athlete can get it, like in the NFL, NBA, baseball, hockey, no one can be like, same shit, different toilet, man.
That's a good point. Maybe like fake wrestling, like WWF.
I mean, just listen to this. This is an interview on HBO Boxing.
Connected a lot against DeMarco, I think, which is one of the reasons you're as hot as you are right now. What do you feel about this, which is, after all, the follow-up performance to that masterpiece?
You know, same shit, different toilet.
He's chewing gum.
Yeah.
You know. So in the lead up, this is why I love boxing so much. It really is so spectacular.
It's the best. It's
so
wonderful to watch two human beings beat the shit.
The announcers told you about, well, I'll let Jim Lampley tell you. And maybe this will clear. This was so amazing.
Performer. When he fought Antonio DeMarco last November 17, Adrian Broner came to the ring wearing pink trunks and pink gloves. It's the color associated with breast cancer awareness, the disease that has impacted the lives of so many, the Broner family being no exception.
Okay, so now they go into a piece about his family going through breast cancer, like his grandmother and other relatives had cancer. He fought with pink gloves, and they're like, you know, just like a heartwarming, a touching piece about him and breast cancer. And there's a little bit of it. And then they cut from that piece to him about to enter the ring. It looked like it was cut to be the funniest fucking thing ever. Okay.
The pink trunks, the pink gloves it was for everybody who's going through this. And then just with me going through it with my grandmother, you know, it really meant something to me.
Cut from that package.
From Cincinnati, Ohio, here comes the champion.
What they is he cut saying?
Young niggas, but we live though. From the breast cancer piece,
right.
To that, oh my god! And you should have seen the shit he had on. He had a headset on so he could rap with the other rapper.
No.
And it was fucking amazing. That's why boxing trumps all other sports.
It's so corrupt.
Yeah. It's so fucked up. They let these guys be assholes.
But it's the whole showboating. It's what Don King started, the showboating.
Yeah.
Sure. He made it into a spectacle. It's not about beating
boasting,
the shit.
Though, was around. Like, the guy who really made boasting a thing was Ali, you know?
He was the first
guy who wasn't like, I know my place and I'll just sit here and, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. And I look forward to this match. He was like, I am the shit.
Could you imagine?
That was the first. And people were like, who the fuck is this guy? He was so.
Well, he renamed himself too, right? Cassius Clay is the real name. And then Muhammad Ali.
Well, yeah, but that's a whole other thing. That's not
related to bragging and boasting.
No, not at all.
I thought it was like his rap name. He's like, from now on, I'm Muhammad Ali.
No. Oh.
Because I would choose an Islamic name too.
He did that for religious reasons.
For Islam.
Islam. But that's not part of like a rap.
Well, because I'm saying that I think for my comedy career, like imagine if we all started doing that as stand-ups. Like I'm going to convert to Islam, change my name to some crazy shit, and then just be like, I'm the best comic that ever was, ever is, ever going to be.
Well, there are some guys like that.
Well, like Cedric the Entertainer.
No, he's not like that. But I'm saying I'm not going to call them out.
No, okay. We shouldn't call names. Yeah. That's my name.
Well, I mean, you can call out because he's completely lost his mind. Cat Williams has lost his mind.
Yeah, he's out of his gourd.
But I know way less accomplished people that talk about themselves like that. Like, I rip shit.
I do too. And I think I know.
I tear stages apart.
You're like, really?
What in the fuck, man?
It's true. There is no other sport, even in like hockey, where they beat the shit out of each other too.
No, yeah, no.
Could you imagine if, like, in tennis, like, it's such
I'm
a
fuck
similar-
you up tomorrow, Sampras? No, no, nobody does. But the thing is, this is a sport where you literally are getting in a fight.
Yeah.
So boasting and all that, it's all getting in your head. UFC guys, you know, most UFC guys are more of like traditional conservative, but there's some guys that talk mad shit too and add some flair to it, you know. I like it.
I love it. But that's why I like boxing, because it's so savage. But do you think that after a certain point that shit even gets into someone else's head?
Of course. Yeah. Of course. I mean, not always, but you can never predict it. That's why the guys that do it, they're masters at doing it, because it's a calculated thing. And even if even if they didn't intimidate the guy, if the guy's thinking about them, you know, then it worked.
Yeah, it worked.
You know, I mean, Floyd Mayweather, who you've seen on the 24/7
boxing, that stuff.
I mean, you know, the funny thing is you watch those long enough and you're like, you know, it's all an act. You realize you can strip it all away, and the guy is everybody at their core is a regular dude, but he lives.
Not Mike Tyson. Yeah, seen that documentary.
I think he is though.
Can we turn it up? I can't hear myself talking enough. What? It's Blue Band's fault. I like how you get mad at me. Like it's my fault. I can't hear myself.
How about now?
Perfect.
Okay.
But Mike Tyson. He is a sweet, sensitive soul, yes.
No, that's the whole point I'm making, is that, like, these guys, it is all an act. When you at the end of the day, if you sit the guy down one-on-one, 99.9% have the same emotions and thoughts and feelings you do. But this is how, like, part of that showboating and all that crazy talk is what helped them get to their place. It's how they motivate themselves, and it's how they beat their opponents. And getting in the other guy's head is a huge part of it for some athletes, you know?
That's so sinister. Could you imagine in stand-up if you could be like, hey, man, don't bomb tonight?
People do that.
Your mama sucks it. And, like, to get inside, it's so sinister, though.
Mm-hmm.
No, there are people that do that, yeah.
If it was more competitive, it's not really... I mean, people always want to have good sets, and it's about, like... killing after so-and-so, you know, you want to have the best set of the night, but it's not as sinister as that.
No, I guess I liken that to stand-up. I understand the way they think, because you have to kind of transcend normal everyday thought. Like, they're going to go in there and beat the shit out of another human being. Like, you kind of have to be a little egocentric and a little crazy the way that comics are, to be like, I'm going to go into this room of strangers and make them like me. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
It's lunacy.
It is crazy. Put your glasses back on. Why'd you take them off?
Yeah, sorry. It's fucking bright in here, man. It's too bright.
Way
I gotta wear
cooler.
Shades. Yeah, these are really cool. Where'd you get these from?
I got those at Walmart in Florida.
Are these the HD Vision?
No, hell no. I don't bust those out for anybody.
Okay, here you go.
That's
you like
really
this?
Cool.
It's
yeah.
Better, huh?
Yeah. I feel more comfortable.
Thank you.
You know what we didn't really get into last week? We had it. We didn't really discuss it. I have the full-length version, which is a little bit longer, but it's playable. Let's give it a listen.
I want to talk a little bit about the White Tigress practices, because in this DVD, we're using some of the techniques from that practice. I practiced as a White Tigress for about a year.
This is the best. I forgot about it.
She practiced for a whole year.
Of the White Tigress.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole DVD.
Yeah.
It's like an hour.
That means that you can be a White Tigress, too.
And one of the premises, I mean, there's a lot to the practice, so I'm just speaking mostly about the oral sex aspects of it. But the belief is that your spirituality and your sexuality are tied together. And if you can't face directly your sexuality, is one of the quotes, then you will never understand and fully be able to go into your spirituality. That's from the White Tigress Manual, which was written a long time ago. And these are very ancient practices, which I'm not going to get into too much, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about how the practices may look on the outside, but what's really happening internally. And I can speak from my own experience. So when I first saw the oral sex practices and read about the White Tigress, I was very intrigued because of the idea of gaining spiritual enlightenment through them, but also the idea of rejuvenating and beautifying and staying young and youthful your whole life because of these practices.
True.
And there's more to it than just the oral sex piece. But
ladies, pay attention.
That's the main piece. So there's diet and there's different different exercises and movement of energy through your body, meditation.
And come.
But in the oral sex tradition, there's a lot of things, like, for example, we have a technique where you're really sucking deeply the penis and you're almost like gagging on it. And when I first heard about this technique and then saw it, I was like, oh my goodness. And it was
oh
this,
my goodness.
Like the instant thing that came up in me was that it's degrading to women. Yeah. Or the technique where you're holding the back of the head and the man is holding her.
Can I tell you something? There's no better feeling, and it's what every guy wants to do, is deeply go inside of your mouth and thrust, really get in there.
Her head and then circling his...
You can't just drop that and then go back to audio.
Hips and grinding his penis into her mouth, and it's like...
That is the key to success.
Really push it in there, make her gag.
If you want to stand out on Match.com or on eHarmony and you're a lady, you put, I let you hold the back of my head and grind deeply into my mouth.
Oh boy.
And you will get all the best dates.
That's, you know, that's your traditional porn kind of degrading shot in my head.
You.
This is what was coming up when I first
learned these. White tigress.
And then I started thinking, well, maybe some guy just made this stuff up because he really liked oral sex.
Hey.
But as I learned more about the practice and I got more into the practice,
she's the white tigress.
It was very interesting to understand the premise of the practice being about really absorbing his essence, really allowing oral sex to be pleasurable and for you to really enjoy it so that it's as enjoyable.
Some guy really got in there, right?
Yeah, she's hosed completely.
You think a guy gave her the speech like, just fucking...
Yeah, some hippy-dippy guru, LA guy.
But you're not connecting to your own spirituality.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Unless you really embrace all my dick juice.
Well, I find her her history to be a little dicey. She's like, this goes far back. This goes back to like 1985 when my friend Rick told me about this.
It goes
in
back
Santa
a
Monica.
Long time ago.
What are you talking about? What ancient practice are we referring to?
The white tigress.
The white tigress?
You look like the white tigress with that ridiculous outfit you have on. With your fucking robe. It's absurd.
I feel crazy. I don't know where I am. I've been awake all day.
Well, let the white tigress talk.
For the woman as it is for the man. How enjoyable it is to have his penis inside of your mouth, deep in your throat. How enjoyable it is, especially around the one of the practices is to actually have semen on your face. And you're meditating and you're drawing in, you're visualizing white light and you're drawing in his essence through his semen. We know that this is also beneficial. Semen has lots of wonderful proteins and minerals and things in it that are great for your skin. So by meditating on it.
So there is this article in Vice magazine years ago where this girl actually used semen as a moisturizer on half of her face for like a month, and then the other half lotion.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out after a month, her face actually broke into a rash on the semen side. It has no benefits. I think temporarily, like the first week it did, and then eventually it was like, it just wreaked havoc.
Really?
Well, I mean, there is that book, Natural Harvest.
Cooking with Cum?
Yeah. I mean, do you think it's really nutritious?
No.
Why don't you try it? I mean, it's like you talk as though, you know.
Why don't I try it? Why don't I give it to you to try, sample for yourself?
You think I haven't sampled?
But I mean, why don't you really make it a part of your routine?
The white tigress?
I'm saying, why don't you moisturize and cook with it?
The white bear?
The white bear
But I've
recipes.
Got a bear, not a tiger.
Well, you know. You got to take all that cum.
Drawing it in, massaging it under your skin and just letting it dry on your skin. Yes. It's a skin tightener. I mean, there's all kinds of really great stuff to it.
Yeah.
And that practice I have found to be very beneficial to me. And also helped me another level of shame, like overcoming, is this degrading to have his semen on my face? And then it just to switch it, to frame it a little differently for yourself of noticing how warm it is. Yeah. Noticing how much you can love, if you love him, to love his fluid. Yeah. How often are men not worshipped in this way? Like, this is a way to worship your man, you know? To really just allow his essence, his semen on your face and have it there and enjoying it and
enjoy
doing this for him.
And for yourself.
That's really nice of her.
That is a really nice. Do you think she's married? Do you think she has a monogamous?
That is not a marriage. No, I think, but I think there's a boyfriend who she's really into, for sure.
Right. It's Rick in Santa Monica who convinced her to do
this. In 1985, wrote the book, like you said. He's like, this has been around a long time. I wrote it like 20 years ago. Basically, no. Every chick I meet, I tell to be my white tigress. She's
my
like, that's really cool. It's really interesting. She's into candles.
Yes.
She's into yoga.
Lavender.
She's into where the sun hits you first in the morning.
Chakras.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of, you know, different bathing techniques.
A lot of
maybe staying away from bathing sometimes.
Yeah.
Let's not do it every week.
Right. Her essence is being stolen.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a weird... I mean, listen, I understand. I kind of get it on a hippie California level.
Yeah.
You're taking in somebody's essence, which, you know, I take your essence. Mm-hmm. I steal your chi every now and then, too.
Stole my chi.
But I don't know about rubbing it on the face and stuff. That's a little...
What are you, fucking new? Huh?
It's flaky after a while, right?
Same shit, different toilet.
Right. Different toilet.
Different toilet.
Oh, man. That chick's pretty fucking whack.
She got hosed, right?
But you know, like, there's also, like, vampire chicks. I read about this stuff where they drink, like, menstrual blood.
Yeah.
Like, that's another weird... I don't know. Is the body that sacred is what I'm saying.
You're not buying it.
You're not supposed to worship everything that comes out of your dick or your butt or your vagina.
I'm with you on that, man.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, of course,
you know, we
buddy.
Didn't, have we talked about the fact that twice in 2 weeks I've had Asian people tell me to stop ordering so much sushi?
Yeah.
We didn't? Good.
We haven't talked about it, but we should.
Jesus Christ.
What happened?
Okay, the first time was with together, but I was ordering, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And I went to, we were together, and I was like, yeah, so let me get, basically our sushi procedure is sushi pieces, and then usually like a roll or two, right?
Wait, back it up. We wait until we're starving.
Yeah, that's true.
Until we're bonkers crazy.
Right. And for those who don't get sushi... you know, how filling do you feel like it is?
Can I tell you, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. I feel like I could eat as much as humanly possible.
And if you do it slow, you could eat it for...
All day.
All day, yeah.
Asian food doesn't really fill me up.
Yeah.
Or seal me shut.
Ooh, caught yourself.
We order, we get like a one or two rolls.
And then a bunch of sushi.
And then a bunch, yeah.
Sushi, for those who don't or aren't familiar, when you order... If you just say sushi, it means the piece of fish over, like kind of wrapped around a piece of rice. Sashimi.
It's not a lot, dude. It's like a fucking 2-inch thing.
But I'm just breaking it down for those who don't know.
Yeah,
sashimi is just fish, and sushi is actually fish and rice, right? So when you order, if you say, I want an order of salmon, sushi.
I'm sorry, what?
Salmon.
Thank you.
Sushi. You're going to get two pieces of that fish attached to rice, okay? So normally, if we go together, you know, we'll order that salmon,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I like
albacore,
eel.
Whitefish, toro, if they have it.
Tuna.
Halibut, whatever. All the good stuff. And then we'll order a couple rolls, and we're like, cool. So we're running through this the other day. We're starving, like you said.
Always.
We held out, and I'm like, yes, let me get a tuna. Let me get the albacore. I'll have the whitefish. Let me get two salmon, two eel. I want to try that octopus.
Oh, and we get a salad too. I like to get
seaweed salad. Look at the spiced tuna roll, and the lady goes, too much. And
right.
I go, what? Too much food.
Which and would I you say like, in the history of our eating together has ever happened?
Never. And I was like, she goes, I put this now. If you hungry later, more food later. And I was like, you're cutting me off? And she was like, it's too much. I was like, holy shit.
You're too fat for this place.
This is not...
Like your pants.
38's as high as it goes, pal. So she left back, and I was like... Remember, we were like, Jesus, she really just... She's trying to prevent us from shirling ourselves.
Yeah.
And she goes to the back, brings out all our food, and you remember what happened? It was the perfect amount.
Yes.
She cut us off at, like, the right cutoff.
Yeah.
And... A week later, you were out of town. I was going to a meeting, and I was early. So, because, you know, the city's so fucking spread out that you have to time everything. And I was like,
it takes a fucking hour.
Yeah. So it didn't make sense for me to come home. So I'm staying near where I have the meeting.
Too dark.
And I stop for lunch. I go to a sushi place. It's right around the corner from the meeting. And I go, you know, I have about
so this is a different place. This is
different place entirely. And she says, where do you want to sit? And I chose the sushi bar. I still sit at the bar. It's a nice place. And the guy, I go, should I write it down? He goes, no, just tell me.
They judge even more when you're at the bar, by the way.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The guy judges.
And he's like, tell me. I write down. And I go, okay. I go, let me get same shit, you know? Albacore, salmon, halibut, whitefish thing. Let me get it. And then I go, let me get like a spicy tuna roll. And he goes, no more. And I was like, I'm sorry? He goes, no more. It's too much food. And I was like, Jesus Christ, again? And he's like, you want more later, you order more later. And I'm like, all right.
Which is sane logic.
Of course.
But I don't have that.
My fat brain is so trained to order like that because I just order like a pig. It's one of the whole things about why there's so many fat people is we're so used to just enormous portions. You know? So much food.
But babe, you know what my thing is the hoarding food? Remember?
Yeah, you're a food hoarder.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I panic because I think like, oh, I don't know when I'm going to eat again. So I have to get as much as possible. And then I don't throw it out. Like there's stuff in our fridge that's been there for how long? Like a month that I won't throw away because I have this thing. This like Cold War thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a form of control. Yeah.
Can I tell you what happened though with that guy?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
I ate it all.
Okay.
And I was like, is that the most food someone's ever ordered? Because I didn't feel like that much food. From the second guy, when I was alone. No. Like, some people order more. And I go, okay, I'd like to order some more now. And he was like, okay, what do you want? And I ordered, like, two more pieces of sushi, but I was like...
Just to show him, kind of?
Yeah, just kind of to show him.
Like, fuck you, I can eat as much as I want.
And then he was like, here's the check for your $60 lunch, asshole. Yeah. Have fun with that.
You piece of like, shit, yeah. Fucking ass.
Fuck, I suck. Yeah. That's twice. Twice in, like, 2 weeks.
That you were regulated.
By both times and sushi places where they were like, just knock it off, man.
Can I tell you who doesn't regulate us? Korean barbecue lady.
No, they embrace it.
Yeah. That bitch will be like, oh, no, you need to order like a 5 more plate. And you're like, I can't, we can't eat 5 more plates of meat.
Yeah, no.
She'll force it on. They only let us order a minimum of 2 plates of bulgogi.
I got to say, I kind of appreciate.
Or kalbi. That's what we like.
Yeah. The kalbi is amazing. Mm-hmm. I kind of appreciate the sushi people doing this to me.
I know. I do
not
too.
Just for like the, you know, saving face, not looking like such a fucking piece of shit, but I also a lot of times will overorder at these sushi places and not finish. Like I've Shirley'd myself and I got to go box this shit up. And they kind of kept me in check. Like, do you want to take that home? Not really.
I know, but here's the thing is that when we Shirley ourselves at the sushi bar, we take that shit home. And then what happens? 2 hours later, we end up eating it because you're hungry again. So they don't know, you know. They just
I don't know.
They don't want to waste their
shit.
I
did appreciate it.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah, maybe they just didn't want it to go to waste. I don't know.
Well, because fish is expensive. He's probably thinking, like, I don't want this fat asshole to get rid of my fish.
Yeah.
Throw it away like that.
Fucking.
Speaking of waste, you watched Human Centipede.
Yeah, you finally got me to watch it. You watched it for the first. It was the old movie now, but you know it's been like all the jokes already came and went about it. People talked about it for a long time. I never saw it, and then you finally sat down and watched it.
Do you know why? Because Red Band has been talking about it forever, and I finally sat down and I watched it on Netflix about three weeks ago now.
Yeah.
And I was horrified. I watched it alone in a hotel room before like a show, which was a bad idea because I was mortified going into a show night. But my husband watched it and he finds it to be one of the most whimsical comedies of the last few years. Is that right?
It was pretty funny. I didn't laugh as much as I have in certain other films. It just didn't have as many funny moments, but it had its parts.
What would you say was the funniest part to you?
Oh, I really, okay, I like the old German guy perving out on them when their car stalls or when they stop.
Oh, the first guy who pulled and he's like, I want to fucking eat your pussies. Yeah, and you like that a lot. That's fun for you.
That was funny.
Okay, that part mortified, just so you know, as a woman, I have a thing called empathy.
Yeah.
So when the main characters had a flat tire, I empathized with them.
What?
Right. And so when the perverted German guy pulls up, it was like, oh my gosh, I would hate for that to happen to me or a friend or maybe my potential future daughter. You know what I mean?
Like, what are we talking about?
Okay.
So then I did think it was funny when he dosed their drinks.
Hilarious, right?
Yeah. Because you could tell that it was funny because they started to get scared.
Yeah.
So I laughed at that. Because I could see that they wanted to leave, then they thought it was weird. That's the kind of stuff I like. Like when he's being weird and they're like looking at each other like, this is a weird fucking guy. Mm. That makes me laugh.
I didn't like the part where he fakes the phone call to the police.
That was great. I didn't think it was funny. I just liked it.
Well, because you know when you're in another country, like someone could easily do that to you if you don't speak fluent German.
Yeah.
I speak fluent German. Perfect, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah. No, I studied in college. I can kind of understand, but I would be horrified. But there's so many like flaws. Like these dumb bitches, dude, they could have run way sooner. Like that part where she
it's not a great movie at all.
Like she should have just ran away into the forest and then come back for her friend later, dummy.
Like Happiness, you always make fun of. That's a great movie. But that's a great movie that also is hilarious.
It's depressing.
It's very funny. And then very funny.
I don't like that.
And then
I don't like it. Henry Porter is a serial killer.
That's not a great movie. It has really funny parts.
Mm-hmm.
This also, I mean, I thought one of the funniest parts in Human Centipede is when he shows them what he's going to do before he does it. Just to see how they react to it. Like they're so horrified. That was pretty funny.
Did you like the Asian man's anger?
I liked it.
He's very upset.
You know what? He screams too much throughout the film for me. You know how I am about people yelling?
Yeah.
Too loud. So he kind of like, you know, it actually bothers me when
it bothered me too. Honestly, his level of rebelliousness.
Yeah.
I felt was a little unnecessary.
And it's like, you have to consider an audience. When some guy screams in every scene, it kind of wears you out.
It wears me out and especially because I don't know what you're saying, bro.
Yeah.
And, I mean, did they subtitle him?
I think they did. When he started eating, that was funny for the first time. Remember when the guy treated them like a dog and he's trying to get them?
No, I remember. Thank you. Yeah. It's burned in my brain.
Yeah, he made them try to fetch the paper and bring it to him. And then when he finally was like, eat, the guy hadn't eaten in so long that he was just tearing up the food from the dog bowl, like your bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know that the girls behind him were like, oh, shit, he's going to shit.
Well, because the doctor puts laxatives in the food, too, so that they have to shit.
They have to shit in each other's mouths. Yeah. What really disappointed me in the film was that
it's the grossest
when the procedure was done, I understand the bandages at first while they're healing. But then after a while, you're like, hey, man, how about we lose the bandages?
Right.
And
let's take a look.
Let's have some fun with this. Yeah.
Do you remember the part where he's like, oh, this one's infected, the middle piece? And then he like pushes on her bandage, like her stitches, and then like pus comes out of it. Yeah. He's like, you're probably going to die. I was like, oh my God. That's when I had to stop.
How crazy he is. That's funny to me.
God. Well, you're going to like this. Apparently, there's a sequel.
Yeah. And 3 is coming out, right?
Three? Joy. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So the sequel, I guess it's like a mentally challenged guy.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I don't know how mentally challenged. Maybe like remember that guy from Candyman, the guy that Lenny the retard, he was on that show LA Law.
Okay,
like that level maybe. And he's like a copycat killer, and so he does a crude version of the Human Centipede.
I thought that was pretty crude the way they did it.
No, that guy's like a professional surgeon.
Yeah, but I mean, Jesus,
this guy is just like a lunatic, and he does an even longer centipede apparently.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's pretty horrifying.
I can't wait to see it.
Great.
I want another Happiness, though. I want a movie like that where it's that fucked up the whole way.
I'm trying to think if there's
really
one
dark.
That's
if you guys
bad.
Recommend any really dark comedies like that, I would love to see it. I like those.
What about Blue Velvet? You ever seen that one?
Uh-uh.
You would like You would like that. David Lynch, classic.
Oh, no, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen a lot of Lynch stuff. I should.
You know what? Actually, that would kind of be your lane. I think you should check it out. Because a lot of his stuff is like totally weird and depraved.
I like that.
But Blue Velvet's one of like classic depraved. I like Eraserhead too. That one's weird.
This I have to bring up. Because a few weeks ago, you sent me this. And I had seen it before.
Okay.
Listeners actually have been sending this to us.
Really?
For over a year, yeah.
Oh, really? Is it that old?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
jeez. Yeah.
I'm behind.
Yeah, I think so. Or maybe, you know what? Maybe not over a year, but, you know, last year. I mean, it's been around for a while, let's say, okay?
Yeah.
Anyways, the thing is, the first time I saw it, I immediately dismissed it. And I wonder how many people are like me in the same in that I immediately thought it was fake. And I thought it was fake for a number of reasons. I thought that the picture, what I was looking at, it didn't look authentic to what it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
There were some missing elements as far as what a normal production in this case looks like. And it just seemed too choreographed to me. And you sent it to me. I dismissed it. But then I couldn't get part of it out of my head. So I researched it. And I found, at least as far as I can find, that it is, in fact, real.
Oh, for sure it's real.
Well, I'm saying, I'm giving you my initial reaction. Now, if you're still wondering what I'm talking about, it is Sweet Brown.
She's the best.
So if you ever wondered why you never heard it on the show, it really was because the first time I heard it, I just completely put it...
You didn't believe that a woman could be... That she was that, like, ridiculous and funny. And
yeah. But like I said, okay, do me this favor. If you haven't seen it, check this out. It's very popular on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and type in Sweet Brown. Look at the original news piece, okay? Now, I want you to pay attention to a few things. First of all, pay attention to the fact that there's no reporter in the field. There's not even a microphone in picture. Okay, which is very common for interviewing somebody in the field. There's no reporter reports from the field. It's just from the anchor to this piece to her speaking. Look at the actual picture quality. It looks so different to what the standard frame and picture looks like, and to the quality. It's actually a step up as far as like the high def quality as opposed to what's going on at the anchor desk. And the woman, it almost seems like a sketch type actor. And then her son, who we later learn is her son, is in the background pacing.
He just wants to be in the shot.
But he's like acting. He's like putting he's acting out.
Yeah.
He puts his hand on his head.
Because he's on TV. He's embarrassed by his
but
mom.
But it doesn't look real to me.
Can I tell you why it looks? It's real to me.
Okay.
Because she's got like her. Listen, no woman wants to be on television with a bandana tied around her hair.
But a comedic actress would.
Her teeth are all kind of jank. Like, she's not a professional actress because she's got some flaws to her. That's
okay.
What I'm saying. And it looks like she's really out there in her schmata. Like,
let's take a listen.
In her nightgown. It seems legit to me.
For those
I
who haven't
it
heard
was.
It. Okay. That's totally legit. That's totally legit. This is
the resident describes her horrifying experience when she first realized the complex was on fire.
Well, I woke up to go give me a cold pop. Then I thought somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I ran for my life. And then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
According to the apartment manager, the fire started in a woman's home who is wheelchair bound. She was treated for smoke inhalation at a local hospital. There were no other reports of injuries. The Red Cross is helping those families displaced by the fire.
Now, when I saw this, I literally thought the whole thing was fake. Then I thought that what somebody did was took a real news piece and just cut in this footage.
Okay.
That's really what I thought. And what hooked me to go back to this is that you sent me the remix. And the remix is actually a good song.
It's a fun song.
It's a fun song.
Yeah. Like, I would download it on iTunes and listen to it over and over. Oh, you can?
You can.
Oh, thank God. Let's do it right now.
I got bronchitis. Somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing. Jesus, I'm praying for my life. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. I said, oh said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Jesus, 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 it's a fire. Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
I mean, that's a fun song.
It's really good.
That's a really fun song.
When I was on the road,
you hooked me. You got it locked into my brain.
Oh, it's so good because I was like kind of sad. Like one day on the road, I was all alone, and I would listen to this like 2 or 3 times a day, and it would really make me happy.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I like Sweet Brown a lot. She's really, and she was interviewed later. They brought her back with her son. And you can tell that her son really wants the spotlight.
Yeah.
Because he like answers all the questions for her in this interview, which is kind of annoying. Because you want to hear why she is the way she is. Because she's got the spark. She's fun.
But she's actually more shy. Like when she's like, you can tell she's not into the spotlight as much.
No, she doesn't care. She doesn't really appreciate the fact that that song was made. That song is really good.
Yeah, it really is.
In terms of remixes, like it's actually quite a good song.
The reason is that you sent me this and I was like, oh, this is that fake shit. But the song got stuck in my head.
Right.
So that's why I started researching it again.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
That woman's ridiculous. She's so fantastic.
And I like when it goes, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's brilliant.
My favorite, the thing that made me laugh so hard is that she said, ain't nobody got time for bronchitis.
Right. It's bronchitis.
Yeah,
it's
bronchitis now. Ain't nobody got time for that. Like, that's so ridiculously hilarious to me.
Yeah.
That nobody's got time for bronchitis.
It's not the
man.
Fire that's going to burn down your apartment.
Nobody got time for bronchitis, man.
It's phenomenal.
Well, do you have time for this?
Hey, buddy.
It's
Top Dog. Hey, buddy. It's Top Dog. Hey, buddy. It's Top Dog.
You need to wipe down.
It's Top Dog.
Spoke to the man today.
All right.
And had a really, really interesting conversation.
Okay.
Touched on a bunch of different topics.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, shit. Oh,
jeez. Blue band.
Would you like to get right into it?
I'd love to.
Let's just get right into it.
I love it.
And then we can, you know.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. What's up, man?
I just went out to went to one of those sushi joints for dinner tonight.
Yeah, are you a sushi fan?
I hate sushi.
You do?
I hate anything that hasn't been cooked. I'm pretty much like meat and potatoes, so
you're not really an adventurous eater, I would say.
No, I like, you know, I like stuff that's tried and true. So I like, I had, you know, scallops and shrimp. A lot of times I get filet mignon, shrimp and scallops. But, you know, all this fancy curling up stuff.
Curling up.
You know, I mean, it's not for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of these young women today, and they're really into that. Young crowd's really into that stuff.
The young crowd is into the sushi.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean,
young gals,
particularly the girls. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like vitamins for them. Okay.
Okay.
That's unbelievable, you know,
is it like
what?
He sounds like, you know, when you get to the point where you realize your parent or parents are like, oh, you're really this is when the aging's really taking effect, when you're starting to say, like, gals love their vitamins, I mean sushi, and you're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
It's incoherent. It's sweet brown.
Yeah. He's like, ain't nobody got time for that.
No.
Yeah.
They say, when they order, you know, I don't even know what they're saying.
You know that I love sushi, right?
You love sushi?
I love sushi. By the way, just before we continue, this is the kind of shit I deal with my whole life. My dad, he has known that I love sushi for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you like sushi? Like, it's like, were you paying attention at all?
But I don't think we've had it with him.
Believe me, I've been ordering it since high school.
Okay.
She, like, I would eat that 5 days a week.
I mean, I can't stand it, quite frankly.
Did you ever? That was the dog. Sorry about that, guys. Fucking goddamn dog. Actually try it?
Yeah.
You did try it. What did you try?
I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce any of that stuff.
Well, I mean, how about like whitefish, tuna, salmon? How about those words?
First of all, the only kind of tuna I like is tuna salad sandwiches.
Oh, my God.
Now there, put some eggs, some pickles, mayo.
Jesus.
You know, a little salt on it, mix it up real good, put it on some nice white bread, make myself.
You're really straining. Are you taking a shit right now?
No, I was moving. I was helping letting the dog go out. Already took, had my quota of three today.
Three? Is that that's your normal quote?
Huh. Oh, yeah.
Three every day?
Three.
Absolutely.
Never.
Absolutely.
Wait, there's the 8:15 a.m. That's the only one that I knew was certain. What else is there every day?
Well, you know, I usually sometimes after have lunch, sometimes, you know, that triggers kind of a mini gas attack. Anytime I start blowing farts, you know, 30 minutes later, I'll be dropping one in the toilet.
Really?
Absolutely. Did that. And then, you know, a lot of times I'll have one, you know, early evening, you know, after dinner. It seems like once I have a meal, it kind of pushes things through.
That's nice.
And so normal is... it usually bombs away three times a day for me.
Wow. I didn't realize you were up to that already.
Yep.
that's really great. You know, your lack of adventure when it comes to eating reminds me of this kid. When I was in Spain, when I studied that semester in Spain, this kid, we would meet, like the group would meet together like once every couple weeks. And after our second session, we were all talking about settling in. And he was like, yeah, the only thing I can't get over is how bad the food is. And we were all like, what? What the fuck are you talking about? And he goes, yeah, I've been eating at Burger King every day. And we're like, you are living in Spain right now. And you eat at Burger King every day? And he was like, yeah.
You're kidding. That's even a stretch for a guy like me.
Yeah. For the record, that is 100% true.
Right. I remember
and
you telling me that.
It blew everybody's goddamn mind. And this kid was like, the kid was looking at us for comfort. Like, he thought we were all going to be like, yeah, me
yeah,
too.
Yeah, let's go to McDonald's.
And
yeah.
And he was just like so alone. Everybody was like, what are you talking about, man?
But there's always that one kid when you study abroad that refuses to stop being American.
Spanish food.
I know. It's like
unbelievable.
The best. Well, there was a kid in England that we dared him to eat 4 quarter pounders with cheese, so that equals 1 pound of McDonald's beef.
Oof.
Yeah, he did it.
Oof.
He was from Tennessee.
But at least that was in England where you're like, all right.
During the year that that foot and mouth disease was there, whatever it was called.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
You would eat. You like French food and Spanish food, I think. Yeah.
I think, first of all, you know, the thing that there's not much that the French do that they're number one in the world in, you know, but one thing they are number one in the world in is food.
They can cook
the sauces.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look around the world, you look at a lot of the top restaurants, you know, a lot in this country, particularly Lubbock Finn and, you know, remember the Masonette in Cincinnati and different places. They're French restaurants.
Oh, yeah. What's it called? The number one, number one a lot lately has been the French Laundry, which is a Thomas Keller restaurant out here. And then his other restaurant, Per Se, in New York is also French.
Yeah. I mean, they and They just know how to cook. Yeah. You know, it's probably what they do best in the world is cooking.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? You and I both have like a real love of just really, I mean, obviously I think I like more different styles and flavors, but we both like going to a really good restaurant. And
well, I remember we were up in Maine and we just wanted to chow down a lobster, and we had a hard time finding a big lobster in any restaurant.
That was weird. But then remember, we asked the right person and they were like, oh yeah, go over to this asshole's place, and they had the big ones, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I had a 4.5-pound lobster in Minneapolis one time.
I don't know why he keeps straining.
What's the strain about?
I don't know. Well,
I had Holter downtown. Oh, I'll never forget it. That thing, the claw meat. Oh,
I got something set up for when you're out here to get some big ones in you. And this is when we should make our announcement, just so you guys know. Top Dog and Charo are coming out to L.A.
What?
And they're going to do an entire episode of Your Mom's House.
Can you even believe that?
Can you wrap your head around that?
It's going to be
a
crazy.
A full episode of the two of them.
You know what we should do is take questions from listeners if they
Absolutely.
Have any for both
Absolutely.
Of them.
We'll definitely do that. Big Lobster.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be good.
Yeah, and when you shift from the kind of basically, you know, I would describe my diet as like the all-American diet, okay?
Yeah.
Meat, potatoes, a few veggies, not too much fruit, every once in a while some fruit.
But, yeah.
You know,
but
when you go to those like lobster seafood things, that screws up your schedule a little bit.
That fucked me up. When we were having all that seafood, it was definitely a shift.
Definitely. I mean, it basically the whole texture, the whole smell, the whole thing changed, you know. And that's why you kind of have to being kind of a guy that's experienced like I am. I know how to deal with those. I can take those curveballs and handle them.
Yeah, you can. You're a real pro. Hey, I told you earlier, but I wanted to just refresh this. So just so before we continue here, this is actually a really good time to mention this. Because Top Dog and Charo are coming out here, why don't you guys go ahead and send your questions? If you have questions for them, they're coming out in March. Send it to Your Mom's House Podcast. Is that right? Yeah. No, fuck. I'm sorry. YourMom'sPodcast@gmail.com. I know it's super annoying that the name doesn't fucking match the show. And that happened because a long time ago, I just thought it was too long of an email address. And I realize what a huge mistake that is. But anyways, YourMom'sPodcast@gmail.com. Any questions that you have that you want asked to Top Dog and Charo, they'll be in studio. So it'll be unlike any other time when we call them. They'll be right here live. We're going to keep them here as long as we can. And we're looking at, you know, hopefully a couple hours of them. We're going to hit all the bases. We're going to do all the regular segments, everything that we haven't done, we'll do it all, you know, but a question segment might be really fun. Okay, so back to this now. Just that I started going to this place where we're doing a lot of powerlifting in this gym.
Oh, yeah.
Like these powerlifting, basically group classes. And this is true, guys. I have started doing this. Thinking back to, you know, how dedicated you were, a competitive weightlifter.
1961 Kentucky featherweight champion. In the 1962, fourth in the Teenage Nationals in Chicago as a lightweight. And then I also was the 1975 Ohio light heavyweight champion.
Jesus Christ.
181 and 3/4 pound class.
Okay, so when you weighed 181 and 3/4 pounds, tell me your best lifts, like your best lifts, just so I can have this in mind while I'm lifting.
Well, I mean, my, you know, in those days, they eliminated the press, but prior to that, the press was 245, my best press from snatch, which was my signature lift. I was 255, and then clean and jerk with 305.
Were you good at snatch?
My signature left. I really had people, literally at competitions, would come up to me and say to me, I don't know how you do that.
Because you were just so good at it.
I really was.
So humble.
He loves talking about how good
he
is at shit. For people that don't know, this is true. He was a competitive weightlifter for many, many years. And my childhood, I remember just watching him, you know, powerlift in the either garage or the basement. Like, he loved some fucking weightlifting, man. Love that shit. And was really, really good. I mean, two-time state champion. This is way before people took supplements and all that shit, you know? You told me earlier, you were like, God, I was good at that.
Oh, I was so good at the snatch. You know, I could.
How good are you at public speaking?
Oh, I'm born to be a public speaker. I love public speaking. Let's put it this way. The bigger the crowd, the less nervous I get, okay?
Jesus Christ. Okay. So just so I remember, 245 was your best press. 255 was your snatch?
Yes.
And 305 was clean and jerk.
Clean and jerk.
How about power clean? How much could you power clean then?
Best power clean I ever did was 290 once, power clean 290.
That's a lot. But you clearly could get over that if you clean and jerked 305.
Yeah. But I don't know what made me. I think I had gained a little weight. I was probably I was probably about 190, mm-hmm, when I did the 290 power clean.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you do, back in the day, you guys didn't, did you do supplements and, you know, creatine?
No, none of that stuff. None of that stuff.
Nothing.
I mean, this was all nada, zero, nothing. I heard of some people in the country were using a steroid called Dianabald, but it was, I never eat, you know, meat and potatoes, a lot of steak.
How many days a week were you eating steak?
Oh, I would say I probably had steak 3 or 4 times a week.
Oh my God. How did he shit?
Oh my God, that's a lot of red meat.
Well, first of all, I'm living by myself.
Yeah.
Number two, when you live by yourself, you want something you can cook. Get out the old frying pan.
Yeah.
Put the old T-bone on the frying pan.
Yeah.
Turn the exhaust fan on in the kitchen. Make sure that, and, you know, have that thing. I used to have broccoli. I like broccoli. And then I put a little mayonnaise on the broccoli to give it a little flavor.
Oh, my God. You are such a fucking barbarian.
Mayonnaise.
And, you know, A1 sauce, of course, which I think is the world's greatest condiment, is A1 sauce.
I've been mortified with you at restaurants. We're like in a high-end steakhouse, and you're like, you guys got A1? And they're like, for what? And you're like, for this $40 steak I just bought?
Jesus. Well, remember, it's me I'm trying to satisfy, not them. Okay?
I hear you loud and clear.
I agree.
And so
I like
I'm not
A1.
Sitting there, too. And
we've literally been to... I mean, I was playing it down. I mean, the best steak houses in America.
Yeah.
And they bring out the most gorgeous, perfectly prepared and seasoned steak.
Yeah.
And they're like, anything else we can get you, gentlemen? And I go, some A1?
Yeah.
And they're like, some A1 for, and he's like, for that steak. And
I like it too, though. I feel like I like that tang.
Mm-hmm.
It's like perfect. It makes even really good meat.
I gotta
better.
Be honest, it does make me
it.
A little crazy.
Why?
I mean, when
it's
you're
like
talking
putting
about
ketchup on your rice, you have to do that too.
Yeah, but the difference is that rice is bland and flavorless, and the steak that we're talking about is like out of this world.
I know, but I would actually ask for A1 more than I do if I weren't eating with you, because I know that you feel that way and that you probably get
really
mad. Yeah.
No, I would never get mad. No.
I feel like it's an insult to the restaurant.
It depends on the level of restaurant. If we're at like a really nice steakhouse where like that's what they do is they have like this dry aged.
Yes, and I want A1.
Really?
I still do.
Oh, please never hold back. I never want to do that to you. Oh, my God. That's making me feel terrible.
Well, you should be. You're judgy. You're a little elitist about your steaks.
I am a little elitist about
you
my steaks.
You are, totally.
Thought I'd sit down there at night and have my chow down on that and, you know, and then go to the gym. Typical workout in the gym, average 2 hours.
Jesus. And it was just nonstop fucking go.
Oh, you know, you'd have, you know, you might do work on the press. You might do 10, 12 sets with the press.
Are you serious?
Absolutely. Yeah.
10 sets.
So, 10, sometimes more, you know, depending on what we're working on. And then, you know, work on the snatch and you do power snatches and, you know, you would, and then you do snatches off. And so we would probably do, you know, again, minimum of 10 sets of snatches.
Christ, this is crazy.
And then you do, you know, your squats, and then you do practice your jerks out of the rack, and then you work on your power cleans, and
all right,
you know, and so then finally finish it off with a whole bunch of squats. So you do all that, it takes about 2 hours.
Now you were so dedicated that you would pass on like dates to work out, right?
Right. I mean, I worked out every Friday night, and I would leave work, had my gym clothes, go to the gym, work out, and then if I was going on a date that night, it would be, you know, wouldn't be till later.
My
like
name is Jennifer Ford, and
sorry.
I do.
But,
and if the girl was like, "Well, pick me up at like 6:30,"
she didn't get picked up. Okay.
And were you like, "Bitch, I'll pick you up when I'm done, and I'll let you suck my dick"?
Oh. No, I never talk like
fuck
that.
Fuck you,
I
just, stupid bitch. Like that?
I'd say, look, I would say, you know, it's my priority. And oh, I got to tell you what happened. Christmas 1972. Going out with this girl, and it's her first, her Christmas party for a company. She worked for First National Bank in Cincinnati.
So. Put in her ass?
No, this was just, you know, very
babe.
Nice conservative girl.
Okay.
You know? So we're, you know, she had the long dress on and I had the coat and tie on. And so we're going to her company Christmas party and she's kind of showing me off to all her friends. God, I'm like the man in her life and all that shit. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about midnight and I said, it's getting late. I got to get going. And she says, what do you mean you have to get going? This is a Christmas party. I said, no, but I got a contest. I got to drive to Louisville tomorrow because I got a weightlifting contest tomorrow. Well, shit. January 4th, we were history.
Oh, really?
Yep.
She was like, yep. Your weightlifting is a priority over this puss?
That, exactly. And, yeah. Of course, what she didn't understand is
God.
That, you know, and then I had another girl one time.
Well, what she didn't understand is that you can get pussy in any city at any time. So I don't need you. And is that basically what you said to her when you broke up with her?
She broke up with me.
But you were like, no big deal. Bunch of, I can cook a lot of puss out there without you. I don't need you, bitch. Did you say that?
Well, that wasn't exactly the words that I used, okay?
So, genuine,
oh,
though.
Shit.
We were history. And then, you know, a year later, I had another girlfriend, a nice girl. And so, one of the things about weightlifting contests, unless you're like married to one of the contestants, they're pretty boring to watch.
I bet they are. But so there's another story, but I'm going to save it for next time. It's one of my favorite stories ever. It's one of the best stories he has ever told, but I'm going to save it for the next show.
Yeah, do it.
We love you.
Thank you, mommies, for listening.
You're all very special.
You pull your jeans up, wear them as high as you can.
You wear really high jeans. And yeah, we'll see you soon. Right back here. Pull them high, okay?
Bye, mommies.
Reporting live down in the Maysville News Center, KBD, the artist known as Mr. Big were to be released from prison today and has caused an uproar in the prison system. I had a chance to speak to him today, and I asked him, why
man,
did you do
that? Man, get out my face, man. I don't have no comments. I don't want to talk to nobody. Will y'all please let me go home in peace, man? I just want to be with my family, man. Don't give me no trouble, man. If you want to know what happened, just pay attention and listen to what I'm saying. I started selling back in 1986. I bought a Cadillac and put the things all around it. The brains blowed out with the white leather seats. People feeding for that butter, thought that other cream wheat. I was only 17, had the neighborhood hook. Had them stealing out they crib, cause my cream tastes like ribs. I'm up in the morning with the rest of these rookies. You out here selling them. I'm out here selling them cookies. I'm flying out of town, getting them things for 25, 400, 450 when it's dry. Pyrex dishes scattered all around the kitchen. What around town, Mr. Big got them chickens. That fool bought a house for a small by the lake and gave his grandma sets of keys to the safe. Them jealous young bosses and them tricks start hating. They see my little sister drive a Benz to graduation. I'm tripping on that and I'm smoking on them. I still got love for my people selling them. I remember when I used to do the same stuff. But I had my put it up and sold a block up. I can't put my up. My is my baby. And my baby got you buses going crazy. Which one of you crazy young clowns wanna harm me? I said you better bring the Navy, cause I'm about to bring the Army.
You will be tried by a jury of your peers.
To make a plan, cause them laws is on my back. They know I'm booming, and they know I'm booming. They know about the down payments on my third house. They know about the diamond in my little sister mouth. They know about the Benz in the black Pathfinder. They know about the vacation trip I took to China. They know about the mama I was freaking named Kathy. Heard she got busted with a bird in Tallahassee. And now they trying to say that they belong to me. I know they trying to get me, cause these clowns keep holding their n**** on me. Dickie suits and bulletproofs and steel toes. No fake young busters, only some real whore. I pack my clothes, cause it's time for me to go. I'm getting tired of them kicking in my mall door. And even though they don't find nothing, they still talking. Asking questions, saying, baby, how you bought these cars? How the hell you don't work but drive different cars? We got you on the interstate in a Jaguar. Where the and the we'll let you go if you tell us where your son at, baby.